Well, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. We got Mike and Angel, Joe here today. Going to answer some questions. By the way, we want to thank all you people that are partners with us, that pray for us every day,
yes,
that financially support us. We could not do this here today without you. This is all possible because of our partners. And so we're very grateful. Very grateful. So thank you, partners.
Yeah, we also want to ask you, if you watch us on Facebook, make sure to like it and
yes,
share it with your friends. Because what happens is, that's how the viral thing happens. You probably know this already, but you share it with your friends. They've got a ton of friends. They share it. A couple of those people share it. And then all of a sudden, it's everywhere. We're trying to reach as many people as we can.
Yes, we are.
The ministry, this podcast, we cover a lot of subjects, but Joe has so much material, so many books, so many resources for you that you can use. Go on to joemcgee.com. We have a store. You can find all that stuff. We touch a lot of people, and we're trying to get families. We're trying to reach families, bring people up, minister to men, women, trying to cover it all. And when you share it, it just proliferates everywhere.
Well, we're great stewards. We were on radio, 5 states, 12 stations, spending about $9,000 a month. And so we pulled off radio, went to podcast, we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for less than $500 a month. So we're real smart with the money. We are. And so we got great equipment here, state of the art stuff. And so we're trying to reach the world. Looking, we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can hear us any time of the day. So, man, thank goodness for podcasts.
And I would like to say, too, if you have someone in your life that you're trying to lead to the Lord, you know, a good entrance for someone that has never heard the gospel preached would be to hear Joe on a Friday Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Common sense humor.
Yeah, it is. But it's a godly humor.
Right.
But there's a message there that is a biblical.
Right.
And so, I mean, I would say, you know what? And you know what? Laughter sets down defenses.
It does.
It brings it down. So I would say, you know, if there's someone in your life you've just been believing God for, say, hey, would you just listen to this guy? Send them the Friday Funny. Share that with them. You can do it through YouTube. You can do it through Instagram or Facebook. And share that with them. And then we'll just believe God with you that seed will help reap a harvest.
Well, we've had so many people come to our seminars across America. And somebody said, hey, that Joe McGee's coming. I said, Joe McGee, man, I'm just him on my mind. He's awesome. And said,
we've had people think that you were a comedian.
Yeah, they thought I was a comedian. They thought I was a preacher. He's a preacher?
Yeah, I said, what's he charged? Just go see him. And it would be like, nothing.
Free? Come on. Yeah, yeah. Come on down.
Let me call him. Well, actually.
Okay, guys.
How much you got in your pocket?
Yeah.
See, that would be Mike in the
back.
Yeah,
that would be mine, yeah.
All right, guys, let's just jump in here today. Listen, my husband and I would like to partner with your ministry, but how do we go about that? I actually like to start with that one.
Mike, make it simple.
Well, just go on to joemcgee.com. Joemcgee.com will take right at the very top of it. It has a partner tab. You can click on that, and you can in a give tab. You can go on, and we make it really super simple.
Yes.
You don't have to jump through a million hoops or whatever. You can decide whether you just want to make a one-time gift. You can decide whether monthly you want
to
give $10 a month.
Up to you.
Man, I tell you what, if we had 1,000 people giving $10 a month, that would make a huge difference. And, so everybody doing their part, that's what I think it is. But we've joemcgee.com, go on to the website, and you can do it right there, and it's very, very easy.
Very simple.
Yep.
Okay, guys, the Bible says that men do not have an excuse for not believing on him because all nature points to him. I don't understand how someone who has never heard the salvation message, how they can be held eternally accountable. It seems unfair.
Whoa. Well, I used to get asked all the time when I first became a Christian, what about the Aborigines in Australia? They've never read the gospel. No, but Romans 1 says they get up every morning, they see the sun come up, they see the moon come out at night, they see a bazillion stars at night. This didn't just happen. He says they know there's a God just by creation itself. And so the New Living Translation explains really good in Romans 1. How do they know creation itself? That tree didn't just pop out of the ground. That big old body of water didn't just happen. You know, somebody made this. And someone made this and knows my name. And somebody that knows my name loves me. And so it's been around forever. God's been here forever. He's been trying to reach people forever. And so God doesn't play tricks. God's real honest, real open. So there are no excuses.
No, there's not. The other thing is, if you think about it, how many I've had people ask me that over the years, ask me that same question. And actually, until just 30 seconds ago, it never crossed my mind about the fact that, well, what have you done to help here, you know, help them here? I mean, we can sit around and complain about, well, what if these guys didn't hear? What if these guys didn't hear? Well, that's true. What if they didn't hear? I get it. But what are you doing to make that, solve that? Yeah. That's our responsibility as Christians. I mean, just with our neighbors and everybody else, but God is moving throughout the whole earth.
Preach. God said you give water to the thirsty, food to the hungry. You visit somebody in prison, you help the orphan, you help the widow. What are you doing? Loving on people. And eventually, Romans says they'll ask you about the hope that's in you.
Right.
What makes you positive? Well, I met Jesus one time. How? Somebody introduced me to him. Did you ever see him? No. But no, he exists. It's by faith. I know he exists. He's the right hand of the Father praying for me every day. And there's angels around me that you can't see. So many angels you can't count. God orders my steps, directs my path, guides all truth, shows me things to come, talks to me when I go to sleep and wake up. There's a God in heaven. I got it made. And people think, you made that up. No, it's in the Bible. Volume 2 is not coming out. You can read Volume 1. It's going to be the same. It's a great story. It's called the Gospel.
And honestly, if you go and just sit on the beach.
Oh, man.
Or if you look at a mountain. Or you look even at a child, the birth of a child. And you open your heart. It takes a whole lot more work to not believe in God.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Than to
man.
Open Absolutely. Your heart, because there's so much around you that shows over and over and over again that he's real.
Well, most people, because we debated it in college years ago, creationism versus the scientific things. It's like, you think a big bang happened and we all came out of a big bang and we all came from a monkey or we came from an ape? Why come the apes are still here? Not all apes.
Or why did they stop? Moving?
Yeah.
Well, you know, why haven't we?
They've been looking for the missing link. That link, but that shows there's that a transition between an ape and a man. It's like, sorry, you're never going to find it.
Nope, that exists. Does not exist.
But
okay, when I'm trying to get direction from God, how do I know it is God speaking to me?
$64,000 question.
We were talking about this yesterday.
That is a tough one.
Because, you know, I know people that are pastors that should know better. And they'll say, I put a fleece before the Lord. And I'm like, you don't put a fleece before the Lord.
Okay, you got to explain what that is.
Yeah. Well.
But you're right.
In the Old Testament, they would, you know, say, hey, God, make this little piece of
lamb's wool wet.
Lamb's wool wet and the ground around it dry. And then I'll know it's you.
Why don't you take a second and just tell that story? Because
The
fact of the matter is, and what you said is right, we fleece God all the time, and we didn't have a word for it. But fleece is the right word, but
it's
we
dangerous
do it all the time.
After Jesus came, it's dangerous. But go ahead and tell it. This is an Old Testament story.
Old Testament.
Well, there's so many stories here all linked together. And so the guy's got his dad worships, you know, idols and whatever. And so a guy gets – he realizes there's a God. And so he says, you know, so he gets up one day and he goes and kills all the idols that his dad had. He burned all of them. Dad, what'd you do? I burned all those idols. Wow, there's a real God. How do you know? And so he's an Old Testament guy. He said, well, he's trying to pray, Lord, if this is you, tonight when the dew comes out, I'm going to put this sheep's wool hair on the front porch, let it be dry and everything else around it be wet. And next morning, that was how it was. When I got Don't get upset. I'm going to try this one more time. So in the morning, let this be wet and everything else be dry. Yeah, I did what he asked. And so they get the term, well, you put out a fleece. Well, he didn't have the law. He didn't have anything. The reason, by the way, let's just do this real simple. The reason God gave the Ten Commandments, God wanted people to know his son. But they don't know his son. They're not going to believe in his son. So he starts with Ten Commandments. There's 619 laws. He starts with 10. No human has ever kept the Ten Commandments. They're on the front of every court I've been in America, stone.
Most can't say what the Ten Commandments are.
No,
they can't even quote
exactly
them.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I believe them. Can you quote them?
No.
I've never met an adult in my life. I'm going to be 70 this year. I've never met a Christian adult who can quote the Ten Commandments. If it's so important, why can't you quote them? Well, you know, you don't steal from your neighbor and don't spit in the wind. And you
know. Step on Superman's cape.
Yeah. And so the reason
funny.
God gave the law was he knew we couldn't keep it. And so the day Jesus died on the cross, It's in every Bible. The day Jesus died in the temple, the veil that kept the ark hidden, the veil got ripped top to bottom. God tore the veil in the temple and exposed the Ark of the Covenant. Why? There is no more ark. There's no more bulls.
We no longer have to go through a priest.
You don't go through a priest. You come boldly to the throne of God himself.
God moved into us.
Yes,
and
God
moved into us. And the Bible says by his Spirit, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in the old covenant, we had to go through a priest. We had to keep the law. But in the new covenant, after the New Testament, after Jesus died on the cross, then we have the right to be led by the Spirit of God. Yeah. How do you know it's the Spirit of God? Usually for me, I can only speak for me, it's through peace.
Right.
God speaks in a still, small voice.
Yes.
The prophet, you know, he's heard from God. All of a sudden, Jezebel wants him dead, so he's running for his life. He's caught fire to heaven, burn up all the things. And so miracles have happened. But all of a sudden, he realizes, oh, man, Jezebel's going to kill me. He's running for his life, and he runs, runs. He finally runs out in the middle of nowhere, gets in the cave. All of a sudden, he's hiding in the cave, and God begins to speak to him. It says, and there's wind. There's all this. Said, God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the fire. God's in the still, small voice. You got to get still to listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't speak. I am God. It's not the Ten Commandments. No, you got to get quiet. Just get quiet. Get on the back porch. If you got a front yard, go out and sit in the front yard.
It's so funny. When I do yard work and I'm alone by myself, I hear from God every time.
And you'll know that you know. How do you know? You'll know.
And it'll bring confidence. I always say, my steps are ordered by the Lord.
Follow after peace.
The voice of a stranger I don't know. I can go with confidence that God's word is true and applying to my
life. The Apostle Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he ends up going to Macedonia. And they asked Paul, why did you go to Macedonia? And the Apostle Paul, that prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, it seemed right. Did God lead you here? Did three angels appear? No, it just seemed right. Did you hear a voice? No, it just seemed right. How come you wrote the gospel to Macedonia? It just seemed right. And it was right, and the great revival broke out. It's the still, small voice. God didn't yell. It's not a burning bush. Three angels don't appear in your front yard. You'll just know.
Yeah, and I've heard that expression, you need to learn to listen to your seamer. If it seems right.
That's good.
I think a lot of times what happens to us is we get...
Never heard that.
Yeah, listen to your seamer. it seems right. I think a lot of times that what we'll do is we wait to hear from God on something huge, like should I sell my house now, or something that's something that's like big, and if you mess up, it's going to cost you a bundle. Instead of trying to listen to God through simple things every day and making it a practice of being quiet and getting before God, if you get used to His voice, it's like anything else. But don't wait until the storm, be in the middle of the storm, and then try to hear God's voice. Learn what His voice sounds like over the simple things. I just like do it. Just the other day, I was getting ready to go do something, and I usually don't pray before I would go do something this simple. I just said, Father, just help me today use good sense. I've done this a million times. I didn't, honestly. And we have a neighbor with a new car. that's what my wife would call the midlife crisis exhaust pipe.
Yes, yes.
So anyway, but what happens is that, what was I talking about?
That you were the other day, you just prayed about something
simple. Oh, yeah, it was something simple, thank you. I was something simple, and honestly, it's something I've done a million times. There's things we do that we honestly can do without God's help.
Yep.
But we get used to doing it on our own, and we don't listen to God in the small things. But that morning, I just happened to pray, Father, help me with this today. And just before I walked out the door, it crossed my mind, I don't remember if I grabbed this or not. And I thought, I'm just going to take some in case. I got there. It would have cost me $500. It would have cost me 2 days, cost me 2 days of my time. And it was just because I stopped long enough to hear it. And God will speak to us, but it's usually by peace. And I can't remember who it was, but somebody used to say a lot of times it's not like some big voice, like you say, where God says, don't do it. Someone said, a lot of times when it's God, you don't get more than sometimes it just doesn't feel right. It's almost like taking a bath with your socks on.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't feel awful. It doesn't feel weird and strange and bad. It just doesn't quite seem right.
Yeah.
And one of the many choices you have, there'll be peace about. And if you learn to listen to that voice, and you'll learn to listen, you'll hear God. You will.
Well, you know, when Saul became king, he asked God, well, what do I do next? And God's talking to Saul. And he said, well, look around. Do you see anything that needs to be done? And Saul said, yes. And God said, get busy. I don't have to tell you everything. What am I just? I don't have to tell you everything. Just get busy. But, you know, I tell people, every day you get up, I do the same thing every morning. Father, this is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today, you're going to order my steps, direct my path. You're going to guide me all truth. I can say that with all the morning breath I can muster. But I get it out of my mouth. What'd you do? Well, I committed the day to God. What, did you pray a long time? No, I prayed about maybe 10 seconds. But I know God's going to lead me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'd order my steps. Well, how do you get God to show up? Well, God inhabits praise. Yeah. So every day you start, Father, I just want to thank you. This is the day you've made. Father, I thank you. I'm going to be in the right place at the right time today. I thank you. I'll be exactly where I'm supposed to be doing, exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You just get thankful, and all of a sudden, God will start showing up. So get your mouth involved with your heart. So,
okay, guys, got one more question today. Do you know why some kids respond to a scalding and some won't react even if they get their bottom spanked? I have one child who will get a spanking and look at me like, is that all you got? How do you discipline a child like that? You know what's funny? Not ha-ha funny, but a little bit funny. I had a brother that's 3 years older than me and one that's 7 years younger than me. And the one that is 7 years younger than me, I will never forget. My dad spanked him one time and he walked out and he said, that didn't hurt. And my dad said, oh,
your dad hurt him? Oh, he said that loud.
He said, why don't you come back in here? But he was that kid that you could not... I mean, he just was tough. And I was telling somebody the other day, I had two friends. We all kind of had kids at the same time. And I had two friends that were very tender women. And they both had daughters. Their first daughters were just tigers that were way stronger than their mothers. And to this day, those girls, you know, can, you know, rule the roost. Now, my daughter and son both challenged me one time, big time. And, you know, you got to hold steady and make sure they know I'm the authority here. And if I'm not going to give in to
It's not based on their reaction. For example, you know, there's 18 scriptures and Proverbs alone about the use of the rod. And so people said, did you ever use the rod on the kids? Yeah. Five times in 8 years of parenting. Five times I gave swats. And they knew where the rod was. They were hung up. And I had rules for the house. If you violate one of these rules, I'm going to bust you. It's that simple. We're not going to pray about it. I don't count to 10. I don't count to 3. If you violate one of those rules, I'll be like a stealth bomber coming down the hallway. I'm going to light you up. And so, and I had this for a reason. I said, listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to threaten you. But I do have rules. But I don't make false threats or false accusations. Kids, and so some kids are tougher than others. Mm-hmm. And I've had some of that. It didn't hurt. Fine with me. I'm not going to do it again. Unless you're from another planet, you felt it. You can act tough to me all you want. It didn't hurt. Well, unless you're from another planet, you felt what I just did. I promise you. You still have nerve endings, and you felt it.
Didn't
you
hurt.
Yeah, you can act tough all you want.
It won't hurt next time again.
Yeah, next time. And so you do that again, I'll bust you again. And so you can't respond to what they're verbally giving to you, or they'll hold you at bay the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a simple answer.
And you know, really, because they're born into the world, rebellion starts
from day one.
Immediately. I can remember my son, I was just talking about this yesterday, when my son was about 7 months old, and I was trying to change a diaper, and he bowed up back up on me, and he goes, ooh, and I was just like, oh, Pop, no, sir, we're not going to do that. And he looked at me, you know, like, what was that? And I found, for me personally, that most people wait till the child is two to begin their discipline. For me, between one and two was more critical.
I think you're right.
Because if they wait till two, that's, you're having to slay a dragon by that time.
You're not spanking a 1 year old, but but you're making it understood. You know?
Yeah. And so the twos were easy for me because I handled most of that rebellious spirit from one to two.
Well, there's too much verbiage going on today in society. Mm-hmm. We sit in airports, grocery stores. I'm going to count to 10. You do that one more time. And all they're doing is threatening. And the kid's got mom by the chin. The kid knows what they're doing.
I'm sorry, but my daughter one time, I'd never counted, but my parents counted. You know, they do that 1, 2, 3.
No, this is the best.
And I never counted. But one time, it just came up out of me to my daughter. I said, 1, 2, and she goes, 3, 4, 5.
Did you spank her? Because I couldn't have spanked her.
I couldn't do it either. I just started laughing.
Yeah, it's hard to laugh when you're, you know. Because I was terrible. I did not. Sherry was actually more of a disciplinarian than I was. Because it's hard to scold your kid when you're laughing about what they just did. You know, I'd be terrible. Don't you ever do that again.
I know. I didn't come across.
I'm sorry, it just didn't. Yeah.
Somehow we missed it.
And then they do it, and you go, "Oh, that is me. That mirror hurts."
Oh yeah. Exactly right.
Listen, guys, Joe actually has a great book.
Yes.
If you do have children, it's called The Four Kinds of Kids.
They're all in there.
Right.
And so it will help you get to this process
of
discipline.
It will encourage.
And it gives you scriptures to stand on to believe God for. And if you feel like it's too late, it's not.
Never too late. I don't care if your kids are 40 and you're 60. It's never too late.
It's not too late. And one thing I wanted to say about for the four kinds of kids is what's cool about it is if you can, like your kids at a young age, if you get this book, you can determine pretty quick.
Yeah.
While they're still really young, what kind of kid you have, because there's only four kinds mentioned in the Bible. And if you'll find out and try to determine where your kid's at before they get to the age where, like, you can't speak sense to them, you're going to be a whole lot further down the road.
It's better to catch it early on than to have to fix it later.
And honestly, it works with people you work with.
Because there's four kinds of people.
There's four kinds of people. Those kids grew up, and there's still only four kinds. And so that's a great book, so that's worth it.
Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. And please don't forget to send your questions to mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Yes. And share this with your friends. And we love you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Bless you guys.
Bye.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.